Welcome to the Outreach Mass. O my God, I come before you with all my restrictions and my pain. I ask you to have mercy on your servant. Be my companion in my sorrows, my hope in my anguish, and my friend in my joy. In this Outreach Mass, grant me the grace to hear your word and worship your Son at Holy Communion. Bless my neighbors. Bless those who provide the Outreach Mass. Bless the Diocese of Lansing and all who, through their prayers and support, make this televised Mass possible. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. For those who are unable to receive Holy Communion today in person, let us pray a spiritual communion prayer and ask for the graces of the most holy and blessed sacrament. My Jesus, I believe that you are present in the most holy sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Since I cannot at this moment receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace you as if you were already there and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen.
Welcome to all of our parishioners, our outreach community, and especially anyone who may be visiting with us here today as we celebrate the fifth Sunday of Lent. Our presider for this liturgy is Father Corey, and this Mass is being offered for living and deceased members of the Outreach Mass community.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Brothers and sisters, let us acknowledge our sins, and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mystery. I confess
to Almighty God.
Almighty God, have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Let us pray. By your help, we beseech you, Lord our God, may we walk eagerly in that same charity with which, out of love for the world, your Son handed himself over to death. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen.
A reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. Thus says the Lord God, O my people, I will open your graves and have you rise from them and bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and have you rise from them. O my people, I will put my spirit in you that you may live, and I will settle you upon your land. Thus you shall know that I am the Lord. I have promised, and I will do it, says the Lord. The word of the Lord.
In the Lord more than watchmen for daybreak. Let Israel hope for the Lord. With the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption. For with the Lord there is mercy. In him is plentiful redemption. It is he who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. With the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption.
Reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, those who are in flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. On the contrary, you are in the Spirit, if only the Spirit of God dwells in you. Whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. If the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit dwelling in you. The word of the Lord.
resurrection and the life, says the Lord. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will never die. Praise and honor to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Now a man was ill, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who had anointed the Lord with perfumed oil and dried his feet with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was ill. So the sister sent word to him, saying, "Master, the one you love is ill." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness is not to end in death, but is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained for 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just trying to stone you, and you want to go back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If one walks during the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks at night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." He said this and then told them, "Our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I am going to awaken him." So the disciples said to him, "Master, if he is asleep, he will be saved." But Jesus was talking about his death, while they thought he meant ordinary sleep. So then Jesus said to them clearly, "Lazarus has died. And I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. Let us go to him." So Thomas, called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go to die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary secretly, saying, "The teacher is here and is asking for you." As soon as she heard this, she rose quickly and went to him, for Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still where Martha had met him. So when the Jews who were with her in the house comforting her saw Mary get up quickly and go out, they followed her, presuming that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her weeping, he became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died?" So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, "Lord, by now there will be a stench. He has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me, but because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bonds, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Today we get a beautiful story, and it's really the third story we've been hearing these past Sundays, which is known as kind of the scrutinies, which is really dived in deeper for those who are going through OCIA. But if we recall, right, the first one was the woman at the well, and the Lord said, "I have this wellspring of water, life everlasting. If you come and ask, I'll give it to you." Last week, he cured a man who was born blind. "Impossible," they said, yet he did it. Once again, proving who he was. And today we have this honestly bizarre story. I mean, honestly, all these stories are bizarre. Right, I mean, last week he literally spit in someone's eyes, right? Kind of awkward. Right. Today, even more. And what I love about all three of these is that Jesus is showing us the depth, how far we have to go to trust him. He keeps getting deeper and deeper, saying, "Trust me here. Trust me with this." And not only is it how far we have to go, but honestly, it is how far he is willing to go to bring us back to life. Right? Not only can he give us everlasting life with that water that will never run dry, not only can he heal our blindness while we are still living, but today, he can even bring us back to death, from death. That's his power, because he's God. He can do what he wants. And he desires for us to have life and to have it abundantly. And so we get this interesting story being played out. Right? He hears that his friend, the one whom he loves, is ill. And he's like, "Cool, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to rest. I'm going to relax a little bit. Not worried about it." But then he goes, because his friend had died. Right? This is intentional, okay? And it's really strange. No one in their right mind would do that. If you have a loved one and they say, "Hey, I just got terminally ill diagnosis of cancer. They said I have like a week to live." You would pretty much run to their bedside to say your goodbyes, to be with them in those last moments. And Jesus is just like, "I'm going to sit on the couch, watch a few TV shows. I'll get there eventually." And so it could seem like he doesn't care. It could seem like this is not important to him. And we even get that sense when he shows up and Martha and Mary, they basically say the same thing. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Right? You could have done something if you were here. Why weren't you? Right? That can be easily kind of the mentality that we feel. But Jesus tells us the reason why he waited was to show his glory, to show the depth of his love. Because death can't stop him. Death is not something that he is kind of held back from. And that's something that everyone there needed to know. Because if you went right away, healed him, that would have got lost in the shuffle. He's done that before. He's healed people left and right. Not uncommon. People would start to say, typical Jesus. But no one has brought someone back from the dead. Right? Even his closest friends, the ones who just saw him, right? Cure the man born blind. The crowd who saw it, they're like, couldn't he have done something? Everyone thinks that this now is beyond his control. That death is on top. That Jesus can't do a thing. And so often that's what we believe. So often we are deathly afraid of death, thinking, oh, if that's the end, I am deathly afraid. I don't know what I'm going to do. And we have fear, frustration, even anger. Because we don't actually trust the Lord. We don't actually believe that he has power over death. But he does. We see in our gospel today. He most certainly has power over death. He has defeated death, defeated Satan, defeated sin through his death on the cross. And so he intentionally waited for his friend Lazarus to die to show up. So much so that it was 4 days he had been in the tomb. A great little detail, but an important one. Right? If they had just put him in the tomb, literally hours, well, some would say, well, he wasn't actually dead. He just seemed to be dead. Right? You got it wrong. But now 4 days, you kind of know. Right? You already kind of start getting the physical appearances change after 4 days. Hence why they said, Lord, it's been 4 days. There's a stench. He's going to stink. Yeah, you betcha he will. I mean, I don't know if I really want to open that tomb, honestly. But Jesus said, no. He was not afraid. He was not surprised or shocked. He knew exactly what he was doing. And so today we really need to get back to actually believing that God is God. To believe that he can actually do what he says he can do. And the problem that we have so often is not that we ask God for too much, but really we ask him for too little. We think too little of him. right, that so many things are beyond his control. Honestly, that's why we get really upset. We get angry, like, Lord, why did my mom just get cancer? Why did my baby just die after 2 months old? Why are there people starving in Africa? Why are people dying in the course of all natural disasters? Why is there war and genocide? Why do I keep struggling with this particular sin again and again? Why aren't you helping me? Why aren't you here? If you were, things could be different, but they're not, so you aren't. See, we so often have this mentality, but it's the wrong one. Because Jesus is here. He is present at every moment of our lives. And he is deeply concerned for us. He is constantly desiring us to draw closer to him. He understands. That's why he weeps. He weeps for Lazarus. He weeps for those who are doubting. He's weeping for those who are in despair, who have bitterness, who are discouraged by what's going to happen. Well, he is not discouraged. But he knows exactly what he's doing. Now, the great news for us today is that since Jesus can bring people back from the dead, right, not only other people, but himself, it's a pattern. It means that none of us are beyond saving. It does not matter how far away from God you think you are, how entrenched in sin you might be. It doesn't matter. Jesus can bring you back. He desires to bring you back. All he asks of us is to have faith, to trust in him, to actually believe that he is God, that what he says is true. Because what does he say? He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life.
Now let us profess our faith as we say, I believe in one God, Father, Creator of heaven and earth, of all that is visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, consubstantial with the Father, through him all things were made.
Confident in God's loving providence, we offer him our prayers for ourselves and for the world.
For all who shepherd the church, may the Holy Spirit fill them with zeal and love for the gospel. Let us pray to the Lord. For elected officials, may God grant them the wisdom and integrity to practice servant leadership. Let us pray to the Lord. For all who suffer from grief, may the Lord fill them with his presence and bring them peace. Let us pray to the Lord. For all who worship here in faith, may the grace of the Holy Spirit help us to grow in charity and holiness. Let us pray to the Lord. For the sick and suffering in our community, may Jesus be the source of hope and healing this Lenten season, especially Paul Brundelra, our television, radio, and online community, and those listed in our book of prayer. Let us pray to the Lord. For the faithful departed, may the mercy of our loving God usher them into the fullness of eternal life, especially Lorraine Miller-Ragney and all the holy souls in purgatory. Let us pray to the Lord.
Loving God, we bring our prayers before you with confidence that you will hear and answer them. Grant what we ask according to your will, through Christ our Lord.
Tears are
Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Hear us, Almighty God, and having instilled in your servants the teachings of the Christian faith, graciously purify them by the working of this sacrifice. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Christ our Lord. For as true man, he wept for Lazarus, his friend, and as eternal God, raised him from the tomb. Just as, taking pity on the human race, he leads us by sacred mysteries to new life. Through him, the host of angels adores your majesty and rejoices in your presence forever. May our voices, we pray, join with theirs in one chorus of exultant praise as we acclaim. Indeed, holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy. And you never cease to gather people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." the mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church, and recognizing the sacrificial victim by whose death you will to reconcile us to yourself, grant that we, who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son, and filled with this Holy Spirit, may become one body, one spirit in Christ. May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, and with all the saints, on whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help. May this sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth, with your servant, Leo, our Pope, and Duro, our Bishop, the order of bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family, whom you have summoned before you. In your compassion, O merciful Father, gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. To our departed brothers and sisters, and to all who are pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory, through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is good. Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, forever and ever.
Amen.
At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say,
Amen.
Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you," look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit.
Let us offer each other the sign of peace.
Mercy on us.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord.
Thank you.
will raise you up on the last day. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You may have all this world, give me Jesus. Dark midnight was my cry, dark midnight was my cry, dark midnight was my cry, give me Jesus. To die, oh, when I comes to die, oh, when I comes to die, give me Jesus, give me Jesus.
Let us pray. We pray, Almighty God, that we may always be counted among the members of Christ, in whose body and blood we have communion, who lives and reigns forever and ever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go and announce the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Fasting, prayer, and charity, your voice speaks deep within.
Friends, have you ever questioned whether you are loved or lovable? I suppose we all do at some point in life. The beauty of the season of Lent as we contemplate Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection is we know our worth in God's sight. The Father has sent the Son to give his life for us. The infinitely precious blood of Jesus has been shed for us. That is the good news. And that is what is beautiful about this Outreach Mass ministry, that we can share that good news with those who most need to hear it. Please support us with your prayer. And if you wish to send a donation to contribute to this ministry, send it care of the Outreach Mass, 955 Alton Road, East Lansing, Michigan, 48823. And let us spread the good news. May God bless and keep you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.